Welcome to the Couch Potato Sports Show,
the radio home of champion indoor football's Texas Revolution and the 2016 season.
Join Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, for the live play-by-play of hard-hitting, fast-paced football action
on a 50-yard indoor field.
Listen live on our website, www.thecouchpotato.wix.com/revsradio, or by calling 347-215-7497.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show for our continuing coverage of the 2016 Texas Revolution of Champions Indoor Football here on the Couch Potato Sports Show as your Revolution hit the road to take on the Duke City Gladiators live from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and the pregame show.
And welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio with your coverage of the Texas Revolution as they are on the road, as we said, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, taking on the Duke City Gladiators. Welcome into the pregame show as we got a good one for you, as we're going to cover a little bit of things such as stats and everything, but really, we got a great interview here in our pregame show with the guy that covers it all, the guy that, you know, oversees everything here in Champions Indoor Football. I have an interview with the commissioner of the CIF. It's Randy Sanders that will join us after our first segment is over, and we'll kick right into him, and he will give us an update on a lot of things that are CIF related. Had a great talk with him, learned a lot about him, as where also the CIF looks as far as the future is concerned. This is great interview if you want to know a little bit more about what's going on regarding Champions Indoor Football, and he brings it to us right here on the Couch Potato Sports Show in our pregame show. So I'm really excited about what we have been able to bring here in the pregame show here today. So that being said, before we get going, let's talk about your Texas Revolution, as last week they got the victory live from the Allen Event Center. You heard that coverage here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, and that game was on a Friday night as the Revolution took care of the San Angelo Bandits 62-43. That's actually where I talked to Randy Sanders. I was actually out on the field, and he leaned over to try to get to me. It was really kind of cool, and so he grabbed me up, and then we got all set here in the timing to get a interview. So it was really, really good for us. So but unfortunately his team took the loss and is now 0-6 out on the year for the San Angelo Bandits. But as the Texas Revolution are hitting the road, they're taking on a Duke City Gladiators team that really in reality is probably just a little bit upset. As they hit the road last week, they took on the Dodge City Law and took a 9-point loss to the Dodge City Law, 48-39, and the standings have changed big time in Champions Indoor Football in the Southern Conference. And they also, things have changed in the Northern Conference, as the Wichita Force, they did take the loss against the Omaha Bees 58-55. At one point, the Wichita Force was in the top of the Northern Division. Now they've taken a 2-game loss, and so watch out for the Wichita Force. That Northern Division beginning to wrap up really well, as Sioux City had no problems, the Bandits of Sioux City taking on the Chicago Eagles. They got the victory 68-45. The Amarillo Venom last week also, they took on the Salina Liberty. Liberty were on the road. They took the loss 71-58. And then the Bloomington Edge, they went ahead and beat up on the Mesquite Marshals 73-35. So that was a huge week for us. So as the Revolution gets set and ready to go, and hit the floor. There are other teams that will be hitting the actual field here tonight, as well as the Wichita Force are again on the road, but they take on the Bloomington Edge, who got the victory against the Mesquite Marshals. The Sioux City Bandits also on the road. They're going to Salina to take on the Liberty. The Amarillo Venom, they're on the road. They're headed down to the San Angelo Bandits home field down there in San Angelo. So, that having been said, your Texas Revolution, again, they're on the road taking on the Duke City Gladiators here tonight. And then they're going to turn around, and the Duke City Gladiators are going to head on over to the Allen Event Center, and the Revolution get them Friday night, April 29th at 7 p.m. So that's going to be a big one. Two big weeks for the Texas Revolution, and then they're going to go on the bye and relax for a week, and that's where we're going to relax a little bit as well. But that having been said, on May 7th, they're going to kick it back up, and they're going to start with the Dodge City Law on May 7th, live from the Allen Event Center in Allen, Texas. So, lots of stuff going on. Then your Texas Revolution, they are going to be a team that's going to be taking on another. They're going to head on down to the San Angelo Bandits and take care of business down there. And then the Revolution also will end up the season against the Mesquite Marshals on May 20th, as they'll take on the Mesquite Marshals live from the Allen Event Center. So, lots of things going on for your Texas Revolution, where they're at and what they're going to be doing. Keep your eyes and ears open for that kind of stuff. So it's going to be really cool as the Texas Revolution are beginning to go into the second half of the season here. So let's, before we go into break, let's take a look at the divisions as they stand. When we are doing our pregame show, just to let you know, the Omaha Beef are in action on Friday night. So we're not going to get you an update as far as who won that game. But as when we are doing this and getting us set here for the pregame show on the Couch Potato Sports Show, I can tell you that at the time we're doing this recording, that the game that is in progress right now at halftime, the Omaha Beef have a 17-13 lead over the Chicago Eagles. So, and they are in Omaha. So just to keep you apprised of what we know. But after that, lots of things can change here on Saturday night. Let's go to the Northern Division, where the Sioux City Bandits, they are on top of that division. They are 5-2 out on the season, followed by the Wichita Force. They have dropped those two games in a row. They are 4-2 on the season. The Omaha Beef, they need this victory so they can stay in contention right there for that third spot, or at least to make the playoffs. So them taking on the Chicago Eagles, it's important for them to get a victory. But the time of this recording, the Omaha Beef are 3-3. The Bloomington Edge are 2-3 on the season. They're in fourth place. Salina Liberty, they are 2-4. And the Chicago Eagles are 2-4. And that is the rankings for the Northern Division. Let's take a look at the Southern Division. On top are your Texas Revolution, as they are 5-1 out on the season, followed by the Dodge City Law. They are 5-2 on the season. The Duke City Gladiators, they are 4-2 on the season. This is a game where the Gladiators want to knock the Texas Revolution down to 5-2. So this is a very important game for the Texas Revolution so they can stay in first place, because if not, they will drop to third place if they take the loss against the Gladiators and the Dodge City Law win. In fourth place at 4-2 are the Amarillo Venom, the Mesquite Marshals 1-6, and the San Angelo Bandits. They are 0-6 out on the season. They have not gotten in the win column as of yet. So we'll see what ends up happening tonight for the San Angelo Bandits to see if they can get into the winning side of the column. That all being said, now, what we're going to do now here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, we are going to take a break. We are going to talk as we come back to the commissioner of the CIF. We'll talk to Randy Sanders here on the Couch Potato Sports Show in your Texas Revolution Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is
is Sonny Clark, radio voice of the Texas Revolution, telling you about Tantrum Tans, located at 905 Market Street, Suite 200 in Allen at Waters Creek. Unlike spray tans or harmful UV booths, our process is safe, convenient, and painless. Our custom airbrush mix contains DHA, a sugarcane extract that interacts with your skin's outermost layer to bring out a natural, healthy brown glow. And we do it in about a half hour. Check out Tantrum Tans in Allen or give them a call at 469-400-3120. Tantrum Tans, proud sponsor of the Texas Revolution Indoor Football Team. Craving an island adventure? Try Pollo Tropical, Allen's newest restaurant with a tropical twist. We're famous for our flame-grilled, citrus-marinated chicken, seasoned with island spices and prepared with the freshest ingredients. Choose from a variety of our island-inspired menu items and pair with a side of classic beans and rice, an Islander staple. Pollo Tropical now has 14 locations in the DFW area, including the one at 102 South Central Expressway in Allen. For more locations and information, visit PolloTropical.com. North Dallas Nutrition is the official team sports dietitian of the Texas Revolution. Whether you play the game or watch the game, Karen Hosenfeld has a nutrition game for you. Visit NorthDallasNutrition.com or call 214-704-9179 for more information.
Discover the difference. Century 21 Mike Bowman has been helping families since 1971. Our dedicated professionals, customer service department, and state-of-the-art technology provides unsurpassed service. Visit c21bowman.com now and register for cash back on your next home sale or purchase. Over 6,000 families chose Century 21 Mike Bowman last year. So whether you're moving across town or around the world, discover the difference with Century 21 Mike Bowman.
This is Sonny Clark, radio voice of your Texas Revolution, telling you about Pogo Pass. Pogo Pass is an annual pass that gives you complimentary admission to the best entertainment venues in Dallas. A one-time fee per person provides you access to participating venues at various times and dates throughout the year. Each pass is individualized with the name of the pass holder, the expiration date, and a unique barcode for tracking and use. So check out DallasTX.PogoPass.com for more information. This is Sonny Clark telling you about Total Nutrition of Allen, located at 906 West McDermott Drive, Suite 124 in Allen, your number one supplement superstore. Total Nutrition specializes in wellness, fitness, sports nutrition, weight loss, building muscle, and more. Your success is important to us, and we look forward to you stopping by so we can answer your questions in person. Need an answer right now? Just give us a call at 214-383-5083 for phone orders that will ship same day, or speak with one of our team members who will be happy to answer your questions. Total Nutrition of Allen, proud sponsor of the Texas Revolution Indoor Football Team.
Welcome to the Couch Potato Sports Show,
the radio home of champion indoor football's Texas Revolution and the 2016 season.
Join Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, for the live play-by-play of hard-hitting, fast-paced football action
on a 50-yard indoor field.
Listen live on our website, www.thecouchpotato.wix.com/revsradio, or by calling 347-215-7497.
And welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show and the pregame show of your Texas Revolution as they're on the road taking on the Duke City Gladiators. Here in the pregame show, I thought I'd bring in the guy that kind of controls it all. He is the commissioner of Champions Indoor Football. It is Randy Sanders. How you doing, Randy?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Sonny? Doing good. Thanks for joining us here on the pregame show as well as into our halftime show. Now, the CIF, it's the new league that's out there, and there's a lot of rumors swaying around about what's going to happen as far as the future of a Champions Indoor Football is concerned, that, of course, being the CIF. One of the biggest rumors that are running around, is wanted to see if you could be able to comment on it or give us an idea of what's going on, is some kind of a cap as far as the amount of teams that are going to be available to be able to play in Champions Indoor Football for the next couple of years.
That is that's a true statement. We took, as a group of owners, we chose to take, and we want to grow the CIF to 16 teams and put a cap on it for at least a year and let it settle down. We're 2 years old. We've got a lot of the thing that's really successful is all of our owners are nice, stable businessmen, and they understand what they're doing. And we're seeing a lot of good results out of that. We don't have as many problems as we've had in other leagues in the past with people trying to run a league on a credit card.
Right.
Instead, these guys are well-financed. And we've chosen that we're at 12 teams right now, and we want to grow it up to 16. And when that happens, we're going to put a cap on it for at least a year. Then after that, we're going to try to grow it in increments that make sense. But again, our goal is finance before football. In other words, it has to make financial sense for us to bring a team on and be within our footprint before we'll do that. There's no sense in us bringing a team in over in Phoenix, right? Because it's such a far drive and all this other stuff. And the poor guy would be out there on an island by himself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So instead we're staying in Texas and Midwest. You know, and we're looking at some other teams they're in that 10-hour radius of the two divisions. You know, the Southern Division and the Northern Division. And it's working really great, by the way.
Yeah, you seem to, and not only that, as you've been looking through, and I've been watching, you know, throughout the league, attendance is growing. It seems like most of the teams have been putting together a pretty good product out on the football field enough to bring in some, you know, some new fans.
Absolutely. Our attendance is up about 15 to 17% across the whole league. And, we're seeing a lot more fans. Omaha, 2 weeks ago, ran out of tickets. They only had 300 tickets left to sell. And, that was great news. I think that's the first time that's ever happened. But yeah, people are starting to embrace indoor football. And they're starting to understand how fast and furious it is, number one. And we can thank the KISS and, you know, the big AFL guys for getting their names out there and making people realize it. And then number two is they're realizing that we're addressing the local communities. We're not, you know, nationwide. We care about the community we're in. And we're building teams that have good rivalries between each other. There is, you know, drivable distance for the fans to go to. I.e., we had some fans that came up to, we had about 50-something fans come up to the Revolution game in San Angelo came up there a couple of weeks ago. So it's really exciting, to be honest with you. I've been doing this for 11 years, and I probably feel the strongest about my league and about the teams that are in it that I ever have.
And there's a lot of great things that are going on in Champions Indoor Football, but as the commissioner, there's a lot of things that you have to take care of that are maybe things that are not necessarily, you know, that shiny thing to your eye. It generates a black eye. How are you handling the situations that have been recently have arose as far as Champions Indoor Football with some of the things that have happened out on the football field as well as off?
Well, that's going to happen no matter what league you're in. I don't care if it's the NFL or the NBA or anything like that. We know that's going to happen. You know, it's an exciting game. Tempers flare. People get excited. They do things stupid. We understand that. And basically, what our cornerstone is and what myself and the executive committee, how we deal with this is we listen to the complaint. We document it. We do our research. We don't talk to anybody until we've gotten, you know, the facts in line, and then we take it and carry it through our process, which is in our operations manual. And the operations manual deals with things like this. There's fines, there's certain steps that you have to take, there's an appeal process and all that stuff. So we keep it internally, yes. We're not going to take and go out and do a press release about something happening from the CIF, you know, unless it's good. And we want everybody to hear about it. If something is bad, we're not going to sweep it under the rug. We're just going to take and deal with it through our process, not through the media.
Things that are going on, I got some questions that I've put out to folks, and they've wrote back, and there was a question I thought that was really good. What is your belief the result of the competition on the field, as only one team has less than two losses and only two have one win or less? What do you think about the competition that you're seeing out on the football field, and do you expect that to remain the same, or do you expect it to fluctuate?
Well, we've seen great parity between the teams. There's if you go game to game, you'll see that we've only had really two blowouts this whole season out of all the games that have been played. And those were just, one team just came ready to play, the other team was sleeping, who knows. Vice versa, the next week, that team, came to play and the other team didn't. But the bottom line is that we really have good talent in the CIF as far as the players and the coaches go. And we stick to our guns. We pay them based on our operations manual. We have that's how we control it. We have a set cap on the salary caps, same way with the coaches. And we do that. And it's proven out that you are really dealing from a pretty common pool of players, and there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of good players, but and I consider the teams with the best record have coaches that know how to put these guys together and make them work together and become a team. Some of the other guys, yeah, they're just as good at coaches and they're just as good at this, but they haven't figured out how to get that recipe right with that group of people. Now that same bunch, maybe two or three guys get cut, they'll move over to another team, and they click with that other team, and guess what? They're an ominous opponent at that point. So you have to be kind of careful who you gotta make a good decision when you cut somebody.
That's absolutely, because they could be your thorn in the side, so to speak, the next week or so, or somewhere down the road. So definitely. Another question that came out from some of the fans that are in the indoor leagues and stuff like that is, what's the CIF's biggest off-season concern when it comes to seeing what's happened in the first half of the season? Is it revenue? Is it attendance, sponsorship? Online viewing is a very big problem with the new switch from going over to America One over to Eversport TV. But what seems to be the most problems or things that you're going to want to deal with in the offseason come the end of the championship game in 2016?
Okay, our primary focus, and we've been discussing this, is that our focus is going to be on social media and getting the CIF as well as the teams into social media. We're trying to get recordings and things like that so we can keep it fresh, throughout the off season. You keep it fresh like that, it helps the teams, salespeople go out there and sell a good product. We're looking at the venues and things like that too. Some of the teams out there are looking at the upgrade, from the older buildings to maybe a little newer building. That's one of the biggest concerns I have, is I'm out there visiting with the buildings that don't have a CIF team in them or don't have a indoor football team planned for them. And I'm visiting with those and, trying to upgrade our places to play and our locations to play and making sure that we keep our footprint nice and tight. But we're pretty excited about it. We plan on putting some things together, like I said, some social media, some presentations. We're also taking, I've got a pet project I've been working on for a couple of years now. It's called the CIF Owner's Manual. So when a new owner comes in and joins our league, we give him something that has a lot of stuff that experience, can convey to him. He can read about it. Performer budgets, a timeline that starts in July in July? What do you do in July? What do you do in August? What should you have done by September? You know, do you have your balls ordered? Do you have your uniforms? It's just a guideline to help these new guys come along, and that way they don't get caught in this quagmire, because, you know, it's a year-round job to run these teams.
Right.
And, yeah, the off-season we kind of scale back a little bit. Maybe we take a couple of weeks off, but then as soon as that 2 weeks is off, we're back out there talking to our sponsors and doing some, you know, some fulfillment, corporate fulfillment by, you know, sharing what we did with them in the last, and see if we can get them to come back next year.
Those are the big ones, especially as far as sponsorships and getting the revenue back in from the same sponsorships that were already in. But one of the biggest complaints, I'll just throw this one back to you, from the fans' point of view, is Eversport TV has really kind of not been the source of catching the games or seeing them later on as far as archives and things like that. Because I'll give you an example. I watch every single game, but as far as archives and stuff like that, Eversport's been kind of giving you guys that, you know, pain in the tush that you guys got to maybe try to get taken care of. What is the steps are going to be taken in the offseason to try to improve that?
Well, we're in close communication with Eversport. And I think what it was is that whenever we took and put this agreement together with Eversport, right, which we're very excited about because they really have some neat technology for the future and some really neat things where you can take snapshots during the game and put it on your Facebook and Twitter them, and, I mean, all kinds of good stuff that's, you know, beyond
sure.
But really good technology. But, again, they have the technology, but I don't think that they have the support internally. And I think they took on a little bit bigger job than they realized it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't realize that the equipment and all this other stuff from B2 was antiquated as old as it was. And so they had to kind of step back and help everybody get their equipment in line and get it to where they could actually broadcast at least one feed from every team. And they've done that. Now they're working on how they can get their archives up more quickly. And how they can, and they're also in parallel working on how we can get two feeds. So if I were to come to your place and you were doing the play-by-play, Sonny, I would be able to do a play-by-play for my fans.
Absolutely.
While you're doing it for yours. And we're working on that, and I can say they are sincerely working hard at it. They just got a big job. Remember, they don't only support us, they also support the IFL. They have several other sports that they support. And I just think that they underestimated what they were biting off when they jumped into that group.
Or maybe the response from the fans and how many people actually utilize watching the stream and things of that sort, or even the archive for those fans that do want to watch every game, such as I, more so we can, you know, scout the team and everything and hear some of the things that the announcers say. So it's good stuff. Now, as the CIF moves forward, we talked a little bit about putting the cap on everything and moving, moving to you. I mean, you are the commissioner of the league. Is that going to remain the same for the next couple of years, or is there any outside ideas of bringing somebody else in to maybe go ahead and handle the CIF commissioner duties?
Well, first of all, we took in, when we decided to do this, where I would take on the commissioner's job, we did that back in January, and I said, well, you know, I'll go ahead and do it for the rest of this season at a minimum. And then let's look at some other resumes as well as mine. I mean, I would love to put my hat in the ring with somebody else, and hopefully I would be the one that they select. But we're going to look at other resumes, absolutely, and we're going to pick the one that's going to be best for growing this league. If it's myself, I'm thrilled to do it. If it's not, then I'm thrilled to support whoever it is that they do it. I don't know if you know that I've taken in taking a very minority role in the San Angelo Bandits. I help them, you know, do certain things, but my ownership is 0.001%. So I'm what they call a GP,
right,
a general partner instead of an active partner on a day-to-day basis. And I've done that consciously where I don't have any conflict involved. So, again, we're going to look at it in the summer, And then in our fall meetings, we'll make a decision if we want to bring other people in. There's some other people that have their resume out there. I've looked at it, talked to them, explained to them the situation, and said, look, we need to finish out this second season here, right? And as soon as we get done with it, we're going to go to work on this. And if you're the candidate, well, guess what? That's great stuff. But, you know, if you're not, then you're not. But, you know, we looked at it before, back in December and right in the early part of January, and the candidates we had to choose from did not meet our criteria, or really our, they didn't have the CIF knowledge and background and things like that. So they asked me if I would take it on an interim basis, and I said I would.
Got it.
But I'm enjoying myself.
Looking at the season and looking at the league itself, is now that you split up the North to South, are you interested in maybe having a championship game at a neutral place, or is it still the idea to go ahead and keep it with the one that has the best record and the best percentage in order to have the championship game at their home stadium?
Right now, with the two divisions set up, I feel it would be a disservice to the fans who supported that team all the way through to be in first seed to move it anyplace else besides there. It's a short time. It's very tough on the team to sell tickets and things like that, because, as you know, last year at the end of the season, the last game of the season, we had four teams tied for first place.
Yes.
Right? And it shook out, you know, right after that. It shook out, and it ended up being Sioux City was the winner, and they were the top seed, so therefore they hosted the game. And I felt it was a service to those fans up there who supported that team all these years.
Yes.
That they deserved to have that championship in their house. In the future, you know, for right now, we're going to continue that. This year, we're going to follow the same format. But in the future, we've talked about if we bring on more teams in other divisions, right, where there's more playoff games than we're playing right now, then there might be the point where we go to a neutral site.
Got it.
Right, that's centrally located. But right now, you know, because, like I said, this is really a community-driven football teams. You know, we want to give back to the community that supports us.
Right. So, now that we're getting set, folks, we're talking to the commissioner of the IFL. It's Randy Sanders. One more question. We'll let you out here.
As far as the situation
with some teams, as far as their records, are the teams that maybe are not doing very well or having a hard time, are they still financially stable to go ahead and continue the rest of the year? Is there any situation where we might lose a team after this season or the expansion? Are we expecting, since we have 12 and you wanted to cap it at 16, are we looking at four more new teams joining the CIF?
Well, you made a little snafu there and said IFL, but CIF is it.
Ah, yes,
and,
thank you.
And yes, no problem. I can't let you get away with that one.
Yes,
and we appreciate you. Number one is that as far as I can tell, and I talk to the owners on a regular basis, there's nobody that's looking for an out right now. Everybody seems to be financially stable. They're playing their home games. They're playing their away games. We feel very confident everything's going to go all the way through this season. And, yes, the teams that are not doing so well are financially backed properly. The owners, like I said, we go through a very rigorous vetting process, making sure that they understand that, you know, they might be in a bad situation and they may not be making a lot off their gate during the season, but are they going to stick it out? And everybody that's involved seems to come into the line and is not an issue. Will we lose teams during the off season? You never know. I mean, come September, that owner has to walk up there and put his name on the line to say, I'm going to spend anywhere from $350,000 to $400,000 to field the team next year. Do I feel like I'm financially stable to do that, and am I going to make enough revenue to cover that? And that's a big gamble. That's like me. It's always with promoters, and so we don't know until September who's going to be back. But The good news is we're being courted by several different people out there. Right now we have one group that's in the process of developing a letter of intent to join our league next year. We have a process that we send them some information. They do the non-disclosures, and we do some vetting and some information, you know, things like that before we even bring them to the full vetting process and, you know, consider bringing them on as part of the league. We have one guy that's already in the process. We've had one guy fall out of the process. He got into it and realized that it was not, the footprint didn't match, and he was going to be out there on the island, and we sit down and explain to him that, you know, our league is really not where you want to be. And he understood, and then he said, as we grow that direction, he wanted to be involved. We said, yes, we will think about it in the future. I have 5 other packets out from requests to join the CIF next season. So we have 6 packets out, and, you know, will they buy one of the teams, these existing teams? I don't know. Will they join and be an expansion team? We don't know. But we do know that we want to cap it at 16 for the 2017 season.
Okay, I lied. One more question, because this one is a big situation. The AIF over on the East Coast is really having a tough season. All you got to do is go look at the history of that league, and I'm sure there's going to be some quality teams in the AIF that will probably bail out. Is there a future for the CIF, Champions Indoor Football, to move to the East Coast and develop a division over there, or are you not quite at that point yet to move that far east?
Based on what our requirements and things like that, you know, today, halfway through the season, which we are right now,
right.
I would say I couldn't answer that question, but I do know the AIF. I do know some of the owners over there. I do know that they're quality owners, and if they could step up and put together a division that would meet, you know, our criteria, and they're interested in playing with us, that wouldn't be far fetched, because, you know, that could happen, you know, separately from growing our 2 divisions right now to 8 each.
Right.
You know, we could actually go to 3 divisions. And, you know, long-term, five-year business plan is for us to have a north, south, east, and west division. And then at that point, that's when we get into having more playoffs and then having a central location for the big championship games.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the answer to your question is yes, maybe.
Yes, maybe. And that's good, because there are a lot of teams out there that are, you know, over on the East Coast, and unfortunately the AIF, you know, format is not working very well for them, whether it be other teams dropping out or just not the quality of play that is expected. And, you know, are you, by the way, surprised at the quality of play within the Champions Indoor Football compared maybe to the IFL or maybe even the AFL?
Absolutely pleased with it. Totally pleased with it. I think with the instability of the other leagues, it makes the players and you know, some of the better players say, you know, it's better to go to a team that I know I'm going to get a paycheck every week than go to a team that will get paid more, but I might not get that paycheck.
Exactly.
It may not be there. And I think the stability of this owner leadership group has, you know, holds strong. And then, like I say, the coaches that we're developing and all this other stuff, they're the ones that the kids come play for. And they know that, you know, in the CIF, I've seen it across the board. You know, it's a family. Each team is a family. And they're treated that way, and they know that they want to be there, and that, you know, the owners are there. I mean, God bless her, Stephanie Tucker, up in Amarillo, has spent the last 3 weeks at the hospital with some of her players. And let me tell you something: as soon as that game's over, she drives straight to the hospital and sits there all night long, you know, with those guys, because they're part of her family.
Right.
And so that brings that puts the glue to it, and that attracts good talent.
Yep.
And I think we've got some outstanding talent. I mean, if you look at some of those quarterbacks out there, those guys could be playing in the AFL anytime they want to. Now, do you want to go play in Las Vegas? I don't think so right now.
Exactly.
Do you want to play up in Portland? Well, Portland's being run by the AFL, you know, and I know that the other owners, if I were one of the owners, I would be fun to put money out to run somebody else's team.
Exactly.
You know, stuff like that. So that's what attracts good talent, and the fact that, you know, the games are not blowouts and stuff like that. And these guys play with all their heart.
I've seen it. Absolutely.
And that's what makes me proud, is that I can associate with these guys and be part of this organization.
Love to see you hanging out of the side, grabbing me while I was on this field. I was like, literally hanging out. I thought that was great. And making the trip up to Texas as your Bandits took on the Revolution. It was always good to see you. So I'd like to thank you for your time here on our pregame show and into our halftime show. Anything that we could look forward to in the future here before we're out of here?
No, but I guarantee you this whole picture is starting to shape up pretty quick here.
Yes.
Again, it looks like it's going to come down to the line.
Yeah.
We've had several players hurt and injured, but I'm looking at some of the guys that they're transacting in, and I mean, it's going to be a real interesting week this week, and I really believe it's going to come down to where we're in the last week of the season again.
I think you're right.
And we're going to be saying who's going to be in, who gets bumped out. You know, who's going to be in, who's going to be out? And, I'm just excited for everybody. And like I said, these owners that we work with, as I've always said to them and to everybody else, is that, and this ownership group proves it, we have 60 minutes of hard competition and every one of us is competitors.
Yeah,
but
I love
we have a lifetime. We have a lifetime of friendships, and we're all good friends.
Yes. And that will proceed and move on into the future. Randy Sanders, the commissioner of the CIF, joined us here on our pregame show as well as our halftime show. We're going to take a quick break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We'll be right back.
Five-star HVAC contractors, we know how important it is to be comfortable in your own home. That's why we make it a priority to get your air conditioner or heater running quickly and efficiently. We know what it takes to keep you comfortable this summer season. So now's the time to get a full AC tune-up. Call us today for a $45 service call to have a qualified technician come to your home. Also, new complete systems installed with zero down and zero interest for 12 months. No minimum monthly payment. So give us a call at 5-Star HVAC Contractors at 214-457-8441. That's 214-457-8441. And tell them Sonny sent you.
The heat is on. New Nissans have been reallocated to the fastest growing Nissan dealership in North Texas. That's us, Nissan of McKinney. But maybe you're asking, why Nissan of McKinney? It's because we have selection. Some might even say the biggest, with over 1,000 to choose from. Plus, we've got perks. Get 2 years free maintenance on any new Nissan, and discounts as high as $14,000. Get Rogues and Altimas for $18,995, or 0% for 60 months. Because if Nissan builds it, we discount it. NissanofMcKinney.com.
I have one customer said, if we know it's going to be difficult, we know it needs to be done fast, they're going to call Executive Press.
Every employee here is the face of our company. We're able to help our clients go from the design phase of their projects all the way through printing and mailing so that they're able to reach their target market. We work very hard on making sure that we get our clients' jobs out on time, with good quality, and at a competitive price.
We want our customers to feel like we are their print partner, and we are. Their job is just as important to us as it is to them.
This is Sonny Clark, radio voice of your Texas Revolution, telling you to stop on by Executive Press, located at 1400 Presidential Drive, Suite 110, located in Richardson, Texas. Or give them a call at 214-217-7000. That's 214-217-7000. And tell them Sonny sent you.
Hi, I'm Melody, and I'm here with appliance tips so simple, even a 9-year-old can do them. Make sure you rinse the food off your plates before putting them in the dishwasher. Food will gunk up the dishwasher and clog the sprayers. If you need help, call my daddy, Tyler Atkins, at A-Plus Certified Appliance, 972-890-5014.
Hi, my name is Holt McCallany. I'm an actor in films and television. I had to design a website, and I hired several different companies. I was never happy with any of the work that they did until I found Internet Marketing Images. They're very competitively priced, and they can handle all of your social media for you. So whether you're in sales, or it's a corporate account, or you're a celebrity that just doesn't have time to always manage all the social media, try Internet Marketing Images.
This is Sonny Clark telling you to stop on by Internet Marketing Images on the web at www.4imi.com or give them a call toll free 877-469-9322.
How would you like the opportunity to get your business in front of 1 billion people each month? I'm Fred with Fred Schott's Photo and Video, and I help business owners like you get your message out through YouTube. Statistics show that 1 billion unique visitors search YouTube each month, but if you don't have a video for your business or your service, then you won't be found. When you're ready to harness the power of YouTube, give us a call at Fred Schott's Photography and Video, and we'll help get you and your business in front of those billion people.
This is Sonny Clark, the radio voice of your Texas Revolution, telling you to stop on by Fred Schott's Photography, located on the web at www.fredschott's.com, or give him a call at 469-718-9749. That's 469-718-9749.
Denali days are here at the all-new McKinney Buick GMC. Get big savings on our most popular lineup, the GMC Denali. Get big discounts, plus get 2 years free maintenance on any new Buick or GMC. Get exclusive deals in McKinney. McKinneyBuickGMC.com, the new choice for excellence.
And welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. Great interview there with the man that controls it all. Of course, we are talking about Randy Sanders, the commissioner of the CIF. Nice to be able to get in with him, hear what he has to say about certain things within the leagues and things that are issues within the leagues, because there are a lot of them that he has had to take care of for the league itself. That having been said, that's where we are here. We talked a little bit about where the Texas Revolution were as far as the standings and everything are concerned. Let's take a look at some of the stats, because those all important stats, because last year, if you took a look at stats and everything, they picked a MVP, I think, via stats. I mean, maybe that's a cut down, maybe it's a knock, I don't know, but here's what I will say, that I think that our quarterback kind of got robbed when it came to the MVP of the league, and of course I'm talking about our guy, Robert, as far as the quarterback is position, Robert Kent, not getting the nod. Some people say, well, it was the right decision, some weren't. That having been said, this year he is trying to make sure that that is not going to be the case. He wants to be the guy that is right there. So let's do that. Let's take a look at some of the stats for the Texas Revolution. Let's start with scoring. Averaging 60.7 points a game are your Texas Revolution, as they're giving up 48. So they're giving up 12 points more less than what they score, which is always huge. Let's take a look at those passing stats in six games. A passer rating of 111.86, as he is 117 for 195, five interceptions for 1,445 yards. Folks, he is on pace to score close to 2,900 yards in this league. He's got 39 passing touchdowns on the season. Incredible number when you look at it as the remember, guys, they've only played six games. So he's averaging 6.4 touchdowns a game. I mean, those are crazy ones as far as that's concerned. Also rushing the ball 10 times for 91 yards, averaging 9.1 yards a rush. So when he sees an opportunity and he has to get the first down, he goes ahead and he can take off. He's got four rushing touchdowns on the season. Darius Fletch, 55 rushes, 170 yards, and he's got five touchdowns for your Texas Revolution. Going into the passing receiving yards, in six games, 30 receptions, 474 yards, 15.8 yards a catch is Tavares Williams with 12 touchdowns. Right behind him with 30 catches as well, 399 yards, averaging 13.3 yards a catch, and 11 touchdowns is Clinton Solomon. Darius Fletch with in six games, 23 catches, 213 yards, and he's got six touchdowns. Ronnie Cooper, 18 catches, 192 yards, and five touchdowns. Joe Adams, the newcomer, has seven catches, 103 yards, and three touchdowns for your Texas Revolution. Jordan Brown, five catches, 31 yards, and two touchdowns as well. Two touchdowns also for LaDon Hudson, four catches, 60 yards out on the season. So, that having been said, Mac Randall, two catches, 17 yards. He doesn't have a touchdown. Offensive lineman Michael Wormley, one catch, 2 yards, and he's got the touchdown with that one. So looking at those numbers as far as the offense is concerned for the Texas Revolution is incredible for the situations now. The Texas Revolution have only developed in six games six turnovers, so as far as fumbles are concerned. So they need to get the ball on the ground from the other team, so that is really huge when you take a look at the Revolution. It's one thing I'd like to see a little bit more on it. Looking at the defensive side of the ball, Tyler McCullough, he has 30 solo tackles, 21 assists for a total of 51. He's also got 5 tackles for loss for 22 yards and 3 sacks out on the season. So that is huge. Also a couple pass breakups as well as a force, 3 forced fumbles on the season and a block kick. I mean, Tyler McCullough, your defensive player of the year right now for the Texas Revolution, big time. Frankie Solomon Jr. has only played in 4 games for the Revolution. He is hurt, and he's probably not going to be back until around the playoff time. So hopefully he can get the feeling better and ready to go. In 4 games, Quentin Abrams, he has 17 solo tackles, 9 assists with a total of 26, as he also has 3 interceptions and a pass breakup as well and a forced fumble. So Anthony Webb, this guy, his stats are just incorrect. And I say that because the Marshals really kind of messed him up as far as because they didn't have the right number on him. It says here he's got 20 tackles. I'm going to tell you, folks, he's got at least 30. And I will tell you probably 24 of those were solos and 6 were the assists. DeMario Dixon, 8 solo tackles, 11 assisted as well. 3.5 sacks on the season. Or mark that, 1.5 sacks on the season. 3.5 tackles for loss for DeMario Dixon as he moves on. 1 sack for Giorgio Walton and Lindy Holmes. So we got to find out where. Hopefully we'll get an update on his injury and where he is on that side, because that is huge for the Texas Revolution. They need to have Lindy Holmes out on the football field. He did not make this trip, so that's just one of the things that we know. Frankie Solomon didn't. I don't know if he made the trip, but he will not be playing in the game. So watch out for Jericho Nelson, who is definitely in 2 games, 14 solo tackles and 3 assisted, 17 tackles. 2 tackles from loss are already a pass intercepted as well, and 2 break two pass breakups, as well as a fumble recovery for the Texas Revolution and a forced fumble. So newcomer Jericho Nelson in 2 games definitely making his presence known out on the football field. You got to have a guy like that who can come in for you because of injury, or just you maybe even solidify himself as maybe a starter for the rest of the season for the Texas Revolution. Those are huge, huge things as the Revolution take a look at a lot of things that happen. So let's take a look at the statistic leading in the whole league, and then we'll get out of here on our pregame show. The Texas Revolution in 6 games, 15 54 touchdowns and extra points 29. Scoring offense is huge, 364 points, averaging 60.7 a game. And that's how they figure out the rankings, is by the average scoring. So the Revolution on top as far as average of scoring. Emerald of Venom, 56.2 points a game, 54.7 for Dodge City, 54.5 for the Wichita Force. Those numbers there, scanned for the scoring offense. Scoring defense for the league, the Sioux City Bandits, 35.3 points a game. Only giving up that amount is crazy good for the Sioux City Bandits. The Duke City Gladiators only giving up 39.2. Will that number go up tonight as they take on the Texas Revolution and score 60? Something's got to give. We're going to take a look at that. Bloomington Edge only giving up 40.2. 43.7. The Dodge City Law. The Omaha Beef only giving up 45.8. And your Texas Revolution giving up 48.3. Now remember, they've given up 80 points against the Law. That number could be a little bit higher, and they could be higher as far as the scoring defense is concerned in the season. So, scoring touchdowns for the league, Dodge City on top with 55, the Revolution with 54. So those are huge right there as they're sitting there at the number two spot. The Wichita Force with 46, Amarillo Venom with 45, Sioux City Bandits with 44, and the Duke City Gladiators with 40 as well. So the kicking scoring points in the league, the Amarillo Venom are on the top with the extra points, 39 extra points. And so those are huge for the Amarillo Venom. And the Texas Revolution, they are down at number 9 in that as far as points scored via kicking. They're number 9 in the league, so only scoring 54 as far as that's concerned. So watch out for that. So the whole thing, total offense for the league, your Texas Revolution lead the league in total offense, passing the ball 1,461 yards. That's number one in passing. Rushing the football, they're not up there. The Dodge City Law are really taking over that stat as they rushed for over 1,057 yards. Rushed. And your Revolution only 333, but the Revolution, in reality, have got the most yards on the season with 1,791. The Venom right behind them with 1,775, and as far as that's concerned. So watch out for those numbers, and so keeping as far as the ranking for total offense by total yards, your Revolution, 298 yards a game, 295 for the Amarillo Venom, 280 for the Dodge City Law, 230 9.3 for the Chicago Eagles, and 234 for the San Angelo Bandits. And the team that your Texas Revolution are taking on, the Duke City Gladiators, 225.8 here. So some huge numbers there as far as those are concerned. So, but looking at the stats as far as the season is concerned, the teams and everything, these are some crazy stats for your Texas Revolution, and how those end up happening is really amazing. It's when you look at all of the players that are out there. But let's take a look at some of the extended stats out there as far as the total offense at the quarterback position. 256 yard average for Robert Kent leads the league, and with 1,536 yards. Nate Davis right behind him, 231.5 yards per game, 219.3 for Derek Bernard of the Dodge City Law. The Duke City Gladiators, Brian Randall, in five games, 206 yards average per game. So that is huge. Yards per play, the Texas Revolution, Robert Kent, 7.5, and Derek Bernard is at 6.9. So about a half yard difference, but Robert Kent right there on top of that as far as that's concerned. The total offensive plays for the yards that are setting up there, the Duke City Gladiators, Derek Bernard right there, when you add them up and put them up all together, the Dodge City Law sitting up on there, Robert Kent is in fourth position for that stat. So total offensive touchdowns. Your Texas Revolution, Robert Kent, again on top with 43 touchdowns. Closest one is Nate Davis at 34. So 11, mark that, 9 touchdown difference between first and second in total offensive things. So looking at some more stats for the Texas Revolution and some of the players that have made a difference in as far as the stats are concerned. And these numbers are really kind of interesting when you go through and you get an opportunity to take a look at all the stats of whether it be your Texas Revolution or somebody else. It's really kind of they got so many things, but the one that really stands out is passing efficiency. Your Texas Revolution, we talked about Robert Kent with 111.9 passer rating. Nate Davis is at 105.9, and then 101 for Steve Panasek. Those are the guys who are over 100%. The ones that are in the 90s, Brian Randall, Anthony Totti, and Joshua Floyd, all 90 or above as far as that is concerned. So good stats for your Texas Revolution and Robert Kent, as he's been able to do it all year long, and he's one of the reasons why the Texas Revolution are sitting on top in their division, as he's been able to really make a difference for his football team out on the football field. So that having been said, that's what's going to happen here as your Revolution are on the road taking on the Duke City Gladiators. So what we're going to do now, it's time for kickoff here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Those that are listening early, come back at 7 p.m. Saturday night. Listen to the play-by-play on the Couch Potato Sports Show and Revs Radio, www.thecouchpotato.wix.com/Revs Radio. Until Saturday night, 7 p.m., this is Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. Everybody, have a good evening. We'll see you for the play-by-play. Bye-bye.